Open your Bibles up to Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. We're going to be there in just one moment. First, I do want to mention this. Willie and Janice, we are going to miss you all. We love you all. We appreciate you all. And I know you have meant so much to this congregation for a long time, especially Willie, of course, and so we're going to miss you, and it's not going to be the same. We know we're all on the same team, and so you're going to be doing great work over there with the Round Rock Church, but that doesn't mean we're not going to miss you just a ton, so thank you for who you are. So Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. I'm going to go ahead and read this in its entirety. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined with fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's Revelation 3, 14 through 22. Several years back, my family, including my grandparents, were at the lake, and we were having just a great time fishing and water skiing and just all kinds of different things that you do at the lake, cooking out, just having a ton of fun. My grandparents, they surprised us, though, and said that they were going to go for a pedal boat ride. I don't know if you know what a pedal boat is. It's just a small little plastic boat that is operated by pedaling, and so they decided that they were going to do that, and it surprised us, because they were, especially at that time, they weren't the most adventurous folks, but they were going to go on a little pedal boat ride. And so my grandfather had the boat at the shore, and he got on the boat at the shore, but he was going to pick my grandmother up out at the dock. So he told her, I'll meet you at the end of the dock. So he pedals over to the end of the dock, and my grandmother comes over, and he began to help my grandmother into this small little pedal boat. Well, as she was trying to get on, she had her left foot on the boat, her right foot was on the dock, and the boat was kind of drifting away from the dock. And so here my grandmother stood, one foot on the boat and one foot on the dock. And it got to the point that the boat got so far from the dock that she just went crashing right into the water. And especially if you knew my grandmother, you would know this was not good. Not good at all. But there she was, goes right down. She was able, the water wasn't too deep, so she was able to touch. And so there is my grandfather. This image is just imprinted on my mind. There, my grandfather is on the boat, and my grandmother is just standing there in the lake, just soaking wet from head to toe. She, that was her last time to even attempt to ride the pedal boat. We went to help her, but I'll be honest, it took us a few moments to go over there because we were all laughing so hard. My grandmother, who was now standing in the lake, it was good fun. Oftentimes, in life, and here's where I'm going with this. Oftentimes in life, I think what happens is, in a sense, we have one foot on the boat and one foot on the dock. And in this sense, we could say either one is where we are to have both feet planted. But the truth is, and we do have one foot on the dock, one foot on the dock, one foot in the boat. You could say one foot in the church, one foot in the world, however you want to talk about that. When we do that, we are in a dangerous place. And I think for all of us, if we're very truthful about who we are, way too often we have one foot on the boat and one foot on the dock. The letter here to the church at Laodicea is about having both feet planted firmly in who God is and what He is doing, having both feet firmly planted in the church. And so one of the words, or two of the words, put it that way, that I'm going to say over and over again tonight as we work through this lesson, is fully devoted. That was the call for these Christians in Laodicea, that they be fully devoted. Unfortunately, they weren't always fully devoted. So it starts off in verse 14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. So, as we've said with all of these letters, this is a message from Jesus Himself to these churches. And here the description is, each description is different for each letter, but for this one it's the words of the Amen, which means Jesus is the fullness of the message and purposes of God. He is the faithful and true witness. He is the one who is faithful to God, His Father, and He is faithful to His people, seen most clearly in His willingness to go to the cross. And He is the one who is truth. That's what it means that He is the faithful witness. He is the embodiment of God's truth. And He's the ruler of all creation. He's the King of all earth. So the one who is speaking has incredible amount of authority. And when Jesus speaks, you better listen, right? That's what we've seen in each one of these letters. When Jesus speaks, you better have ears to hear. So it goes on, and as we've seen with most letters, there has been some sort of word of commendation, right? It's kind of started in a good way for the most part. There's been something that the churches have been praised for, but not so much with this church. Look at how the letter starts. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you or vomit you out of my mouth. So the city of Laodicea, they did not have their own water source. They got their hot water from a city called Hierapolis, and they got their cold water from Colossae, the mountains of Colossae. Their water would have needed to be transported from one way or another through aqueducts or through other systems. It would have had to come to the city of Laodicea. Most of the time, the water that would come from Colossae, the cold water, by the time it got to them, it would have not been quite as cold as it would have been when it was in Colossae. The same way, the water from Hierapolis, the hot water, by the time it would get to them, it wouldn't be so hot. It would be kind of lukewarm. So the cold water, sort of lukewarm. The hot water became lukewarm. And lukewarm water, we all know, is sort of dissatisfying. Have you ever tried to drink coffee that's lukewarm? You know, it's just kind of nasty. Or water. Have you ever tried to drink cold water? You're expecting cold water and you have lukewarm water? Again, kind of nasty. It's dissatisfying. Also, not especially about hot water for sanitary purposes, would not have been as useful to them. And so for these folks at that time, when they heard lukewarm water, they would have known what Jesus was talking about because of their situation at that time. Jesus says, you are lukewarm. He's not necessarily saying, and pay close attention to this text, he's not necessarily saying, just be hot for Jesus. We've talked about that oftentimes. That's part of what he's saying, but you could also just as appropriately say, be really cold for Jesus. Just be useful for Jesus. That is that's the message here from Jesus himself. Be useful. Be constructive. Be helpful for Jesus. Because you are lukewarm, he says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I mean, just imagine again, just, well, you can picture it if you want. I don't know if you want to picture it, but that's what he's saying. Because you're so dissatisfying, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. When you're not fully devoted, this is the response you see from Jesus. Verse 17. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So here's sort of an example of how they are lukewarm, right? They say that they are rich, but in truth, they are exactly what Jesus said. They are poor and pitiful, blind, and naked. So they had misaligned priorities, we could say, right? Maybe we could put it this way. Maybe we could say, well, compared to the world, if that was sort of their barometer, they were doing pretty well. Their financial portfolio was big. They were successful. They were wearing the nice suits. They were driving the nice car. They had it all together. And so they're saying, yeah, you know, we've got it going on. We're pretty powerful here in Laodicea. But Jesus says, you don't realize that in truth, you all are poor, blind, and naked. I think that word in 17 is very important, the word realize. All of us need a reality check from time to time. God determines reality. God determines what right living is as opposed to wrong living. And so they were thinking they were pretty esteemed in the eyes of the world, but in truth, they were pitiful in the eyes of God. They did think that their financial portfolio was pretty impressive, but in God's eyes, they were just getting poorer and poorer. They thought their beautiful wardrobe was pretty sweet, but in truth, they were exposing themselves to God for who they really were. You all are naked and shameful. That's the message they hear. So if the world is our barometer, we may look okay. But it is through God's eyes that we should truly measure who we are. So to be sort of fully devoted, again, said we're going to use those words a lot, we must have a grasp on reality. What does it mean to be fully devoted? Devoted to what? What does God desire for us? All of us need to realize what we're supposed to be about as Christians. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. So you realize what's right and what's wrong, and then you do something about it. And Jesus offers them counsel on what they are supposed to do. This is grace right here. So Jesus states very truthfully their situation. They're blind, naked, poor, shameful, all of these things, but he doesn't leave it there. And we got to be so thankful that he doesn't. He speaks the truth. He says, this is who you are. He sort of lays it out there for them, but then he says, here's what you need to do moving forward. He talks about clothing. Laodicea was actually known for their sheep industry. And so they would have likely had a thriving clothing industry at that time. So Jesus says, okay, you got that going on. You know a thing or two about nice clothes, but buy white clothes, from clothes that will last for eternity. They also would have had, at that time, Laodicea, a great medical school. So Jesus uses medical terms here, and he says, you need to get eye salve from me. Eye salve that will give you eyes to see in accordance to the will of my Father. To really see. I think that's important. So to buy from Jesus means being able to purchase what is necessary for life, hope, and security from Him and Him alone. You think about Paul's life. Someone who was fully devoted. Listen to these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. Are they servants of Christ? I'm about out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. You want to know what a sold out life, a fully devoted life to Jesus looks like? There it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 28. Paul says, I have put my life on the line for the sake of the gospel. That is being fully devoted. Verses 19 and 20 now. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Read grace again there. I know you think love or rebuke and discipline, where do you get grace out of that? But again, Jesus doesn't leave us where we are. He speaks truth into our situation, truth that we so desperately need to hear. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. So again, Jesus rebukes and disciplines those he loves. Verse 20 speaks another sad reality. It says, I stand at the door and knock. This was a church of Christ. Right? And notice in this letter where Jesus is in this church of Christ. He's standing on the outside, knocking. A church that was supposed to be dedicated followers of Jesus, coming together, weekly worshiping Him, perhaps even saying all the right things, perhaps even supporting Christian colleges, whatever the case may be. I don't know about Laodicea's time. But it says there, I stand at the door and knock. So that's a real sad reality there. That Jesus is on the outside. Of course, as we think about our church, we always have to ask the question, is Jesus among us? But I gotta say it again, as far as the grace goes, at least he's at the door knocking. At least he's at the door knocking. So the church at Laodicea had a question they had to answer. And all of us from time to time have to answer the question as well. Will they open the door and let him back in? It's a choice that they have. Are they going to open the door and let him back in? It says, I stand at the door knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Verses 21 and 22, and we'll be done. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the letter ends with hope, right? More victory, more overcoming for the followers of Jesus. Now, we participate in the reign of Christ. Jesus, you think about this, Jesus was all in for us, right? He was fully devoted to us, fully devoted to the purposes of his Father, which meant hope and grace for us. Will we be fully devoted to him? you think about Paul, and I always wonder about this. So we saw his situation, right? In danger at this, in danger at this, in danger, danger, danger. Wouldn't it be cool to just be able to sit down with Paul and just kind of talk with him? What was all of that like? You know, how when you were at danger at the sea, or were you in prison, what was going through your mind at that time? What was that like? You know, what would he say, I wonder, in those moments? You know, you ever thought about that? What would Paul say? I think, you know, Paul, was it worth it to be fully devoted to Jesus in that way, risking your life? And history tells us that Paul was martyred for the faith. What was it like? I think he would say it was worth it. It was worth it to be fully devoted to God. And we see this in 21 again. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So here we are, 1 foot on the dock, 1 foot on the boat, right? If we stand there for long enough, there is going to be a little wave that comes along that is going to push the boat from the dock, and we're going to go crashing down into the lake, just like my grandmother. So, choice is ours. Hot or cold. Both feet on the dock, both feet on the boat. What's it going to be? If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of this assembly or is ready to put on Jesus in baptism, whatever need that you have, you can come forward as we stand and continue our time of worship to God.